realtors have vacant homes. At Pest Properties, ours come occupied and ready to infest. Looking to relocate your larvae? Try the Petri Residence. This rustic home features thousands of crevices to squirm in through, vaulted ceilings for our wall crawlers, and an outdoor bird bath teeming with mosquito eggs. So kick up your six hairy legs and sign today.
Before pests move in, Terminix it. With over 95 years of experience, we'll help keep your home off the pest market. Visit Terminix.com today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
On Deck Business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. Dwayne's World, thanks to On Deck Business Loans. Funding possible the same business day. It is Midday Matters time. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Matters promise. Anything in the world you'd like to discuss, we will get you on right now and for the next 2 hours. On the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia, 1-300-736-736. So jump on that line. We'll get you on right now. 1-300-736-736. The open line brought to us by Werribee Kia, where they've got their July drive-away deals on now down at Werribee Kia, where you'll find David and Janan and the whole team, Aid. They're all down there. Drop down, tell them we sent you. I was down there a couple of days ago, and they have got an enormous amount of stock. Plenty to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu after 2 o'clock as well. Ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. Dermot Brereton is going to join us, so we'll have a chat to Derm. Frank Panisi, after the big win by New South Wales last night. So we'll talk to Frank Panisi from the Melbourne Storm about last night's State of Origin, and we'll talk umpiring after 2 as well. Former AFL umpire Shane McInerney to tell us, well, I'll ask Shane McInerney if he was to reinvent the umpiring process as to start again now for 2024, how many umpires would he have? Where would they be positioned? And a heap of stuff we need to get to with Shane a little bit later on, how to make it easier for the umpires and whether they have trained together. It was brought up last night on Midweek Tackle, and Caroline Wilson raised it a few weeks ago on Footy Classified that they don't train together. Well, guess what? They probably do need to train together. So we'll have a chat to Shane McInerney about that, find out how often they actually do train together, because Midweek Tackle was interesting last night. But your calls, 1-300-736-736. Going to put a straw poll up as well. Geelong's got its 1924 retro round rewind Guernsey being worn Saturday night. Should the AFL, just a Twitter poll, and you can take your calls right now off the top, should we have a retro round? I think the AFL misses out every year on a retro round. I know we've talked about it before, but surely there needs to be more people talking it up, I think. It's our duty to talk it into existence. Should we have a retro round? We'll put up a straw poll, a Twitter poll on X, on the Dwayne's World Twitter feed. Should we have a retro round? Should the AFL get on board? Because I love the look of Geelong's 1924 hooped jumper. It looks fantastic, and I think everyone would get into it. I think fans would absolutely love it. I think fans would dress for retro round. Bring it back, AFL. What are you waiting for? You do so much other stuff when it comes to different forms of promotions for footy and for rounds. This would be the perfect promotion, I reckon, for a retro round. So if you've got a call or a text as to, well, what you'd do for retro round, or what the AFL should bring in for retro round, and maybe we could go back to a one umpire system, then send through your text as well. 0433 98 1116 is the number if you'd like to join us. 0433 98 1116 is the 40 Winks temper text. The pressure meter to come as well, so plenty to get to. Ken in Patterson's Lakes. Well, Ken, I haven't got Carlton in the top five in the pressure meter, but we'll start with you as our caller today. Welcome to you, Ken.
Oh, g'day, Dwayne. I'm a Carlton supporter, and I want to know about the new ruck or the ruck rules.
Yep.
They still have a circle. They still have a line across the middle. And I want to know why, against GWS, De Koning was blocked all the time, and there's no free kick. Just play on, and he was beaten. And I want to know if that rule is still is that rule still in, blocking rule?
So, Ken, they are now allowing rucks to run past the centre line, especially for bouncers that are off centre, and most of them are, for you to run across the line and block the other ruck, as long as you go back to the ball, Ken, as long as you end up competing for the ball. And it stopped the run-and-jump rucks. Like, Ned Reeves is a run-and-jump ruck who is not getting a game at the moment for Hawthorn. One, because Lloyd Meek's in great form, but Lloyd Meek does the Meek sneak. He runs across the centre line, engages, and then goes back to the ball.
Yeah, right. Now Pitt Nett did that against Bulldogs, and yep. he was pinged four times. I think in the first quarter, I'm not too sure about that, but he was pinged four times for blocking.
Yeah, so Ken, different umpires have different interpretations as to what is and isn't a block, unfortunately, as well. So the hard and fast rule is if you block or stop another ruckman from getting near the ball and don't actually touch the ball yourself, it's a bit like an unrealistic leap for a marking contest, Ken, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right. So therefore, that's another negative rule that the AFL have put in.
Brought it in by stealth as well, Ken. It wasn't, there was no rules committee consultation on it. They just decided to bring it in. And here we are, we're halfway through a season, and now we're now getting to a stage where we're actually assessing whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Well, it takes a bloke that De Conning, which is probably one of the best ruckmen in the AFL now. And it's taken all his athletic ability away from him. And he becomes just an ordinary ruckman.
Yeah, Ken, you raise a really good point, and I think it's going to be talked about more and more. King has talked about it as well, whether you need one lump or two, whether you go with two rucks or one. They talked about it again on Sports Day with Jared Healy and Daniel Hoyne a couple of nights ago. They talked about the pros and cons of different rucks and whether you're better off going with a ruckman who is a tap ruckman who is going to be vital for you inside the centre square when it comes to the tap, or whether you're better off going with an around-the-grounds ruck. And Melbourne went with two around-the-ground rucks because Max Gawn is a more of an around-the-ground value ruck than a tap-it-down-in-the-centre-square congestion ruck. So they kind of replaced Max Gawn with two guys to do the Max Gawn role. And it worked for Melbourne big time. But it is a discussion, Ken, and I'm glad you've raised it. And I appreciate you jumping on. Hold the line. We've got a Grandmother Ham coming away. Thanks to Barclay Smokehouse for kicking us off. Plenty of texts coming through, by the way, on Retro Round. Cheap pies and hot chips. Thank you for that. Bring back the old logos as well. Thanks for that. Retro Round has Sandy Roberts, Bruce calling as well. That would be nice. That'd be a bit of fun to bring them back. I love the idea of Retro Round, but obviously the AFL doesn't. Matt and Pakenham, you there, Matt?
Hey, Dwayne, how are you going?
Good.
That's fine, mate. I've got a cracking idea for Retro Round. It's a little bit similar to some teams for the Indigenous Round. They have their names changed on scoreboards, commentary, that sort of thing. I think it'd be amazing if the Dogs went as Footscray just for that game.
Yep.
And if, you know, the Swans playing in Melbourne, that could be South Melbourne. Just something like that. I think their fans would really love it.
Well, the Swans occasionally do wear their South Melbourne jumper in Melbourne for their away games down here in Victoria. So they do it. Other clubs do it. It'd just be nice if we all got together and did it at the same time, I reckon. Even have it over 2 weeks so you could have a home game at least for your Retro Round home game. Great to have your call, Matt. Keep your calls coming, 1-300-736-736. Dwayne's World, thanks to On Deck. On Deck Business Loans, funding possible the same business day. Keep your calls coming and keep your texts coming. 0433-98-1116. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper. Get your unique bed match profile and find the right bed for you. 40 Winks, serious about sleep. The Round 19 pressure meter. Well, give me calls on this because here's my top five on the pressure meter this weekend. The pressure meter, thanks to rjsanderson.com.au. Personal and business tax experts, RJ Sanderson and Associates, are accountants and taxation stressors. Take the stress out of tax. My number one in the pressure meter this week, Essendon. contender for top two. If they win, might be out of the top eight. If they lose, doesn't get any bigger than this for Essendon tomorrow night. So Adelaide tomorrow night, it's a must-win game, home game at Marvel. Essendon needs to bank wins now because their last two games are against the Swans and Brisbane. And you would hate to have to win both your last two games to make the eight, Essendon fans. So your thoughts on whether Essendon should or shouldn't be number one on the pressure meter? I've got them at one this week. I've got Collingwood at two. The happy-go-lucky smiling Collingwood wasn't quite as evident pre-game last week when we had a chat to Jordan Roughhead, one of their assistant coaches, last week. They were keeping a few things behind closed doors last week, which was a bit of a difference, I reckon. You can tell the pressure's building on Collingwood. They've lost three in a row. They're 12th now. They face the 13th-placed Hawthorn on Saturday, lose four in a row, and this season is officially in crisis. So Collingwood's at two for me. Port Adelaide's at three, should win and bounce back into the eight. But when it comes to fallout for a loss this weekend, and that's what the pressure meter is based on, what team will have the biggest fallout with a loss this weekend? When it comes to fallout for a loss this weekend, Port faces the biggest, I reckon. Essendon could still hang on to a spot in the eight with a loss, and the club and coach would still be stable. But Port sits ninth now. Lose to the bottom-placed Richmond at home, and it won't just be a bad loss for finals hopes. It'll have a divisive effect on the club again. So, huge game for Port Adelaide. I've got them at three on the pressure meter. I've got the Bulldogs at four, 10th now, coming off a great win last week. It's not total disaster for the Dogs if they lose to Geelong at GMHBA, but with Sydney at the SCG next week, then Melbourne, they probably need to win two of those three to make the eight. So the Dogs are at four. And the interesting one for me, and I wouldn't mind taking your calls on this as well, who's at five? Should it be the Suns need to win an away game to make finals? So, hey, break the cycle, Gold Coast. Should it be the Dockers at home? Should it be Melbourne at Optus? Carlton's lost their past two. Who should be at five? Your calls on the pressure meter straight after the break. 1-300-736-736, the open line number, if you'd like to join me. Heap of calls on the line. Damien of Strathmore, before we take a break, you got an idea for Retro Round. Welcome to you, Damien.
G'day, Dwayne. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so Retro Round, I reckon we should go back to having cash and have the boys and girls walking up the aisles with, you know, drinks, lollies, chocolates and potato chips. With the old wooden, you know, little stall they used to have around their neck and go up and down the aisles.
Cash, Damien. Can we get the venues to take cash for a week? That'd be hilarious.
On you, Dwayne.
On Deck Business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always love your company for Dwayne's World. Heading back to your calls straight away. 1-300-736-736. Retro Round and the pressure meter. I'll give you my top five again very shortly, but quite a few are coming through, and I've opened up the text machine as well, and boy, has that exploded on some suggestions for Retro Round, given that, and I know the Cats aren't the only ones to have done it this year. Other teams have worn their retro jumper, but the Cats are doing it Saturday night. It just seems like a no-brainer for the AFL to actually have a Retro Round where every club does it, and the Cats are doing it well this Saturday night with their 19-24 wider hooped jumper. Baz in Coburg, you there, Baz?
Yeah, good afternoon, Dwayne. I reckon throw out to Emma, the smoke review officer, and just get the report book in the card, you know, with the umpires pull it out of their sock and report the play on the day.
Yeah, and send them to the tribunal on the Tuesday night where you get three guys just sitting around a table saying, oh, I reckon that's worth one. What do you reckon? No, I think it's two. Yeah, let's give them two. And it takes about 8 minutes. Baz, rather than getting lawyers in, might be a good idea. Great to have you call. Michael in Grovedale, you got a thought on Retro Round and the Crows. Welcome to you, Michael.
Yeah, how are you going?
Good.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, so do you remember the Heritage Round from 2003 to 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, bring back those Guernseys, like, and, yeah, maybe similar to, like, back to those rules, like when footy was a lot tougher back in the days of, like, say, Byron Pickett, Michael Voss, Jono Brown.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll wind the rules back, Michael, but I appreciate your thought on how much fun it might be as a one-off. But I'll tell you what, we might all go thinking, wow, Not sure I liked it. But maybe some will. Appreciate your call. A couple of tests coming through. Please, please bring back screwing boots for the players. There's a good one. Remember them? I'm sick of seeing players slip over, especially from my own team. Cheers, Block in Richmond. Block, you are spot on. Bring back screwing boots. That is a fantastic idea. Dwayne, retro round instead of the Oz kickers. Get some ex-AFL players out there at halftime. Thanks for that text. Paul has sent in a suggestion. Hi, Dwayne, for retro round. Can we bring back Helen D'Amico? I'm not sure how old Helen is now and how long it might take Helen to run across the ground, but if she is still around, maybe you've got an idea that... actually, no, I don't think it'll work. Dwayne, how about calling Sydney, South Melbourne, Brisbane, Fitzroy, Bulldogs, Footscray, and teams doing it for retro round? Thank you for that. And one here. Gee, unusual, Dwayne. You don't have the Blues under pressure in your pressure meter, as they've been under pressure since round one by the media, even though they're second on the ladder. Go figure. Well, I don't have the Blues in the top five on the pressure meter this week, but I certainly do have a few other teams that are under the Blues in the top five, including Essendon number one on my pressure meter. Thanks to all of you who sent through text, by the way. There's been a lot of funny texts for retro round sent through. Some, not all of them I'll read out, but appreciate how many have been sent through. Retro round, Carlton to play at Optus Oval, Bulldogs to play at the Western Oval, Geelong at Cadinia Park, North at Arden Street. We'd be locking a few fans out, but I know the theory is pretty good. AFL should bring back the grand final logos. We have the same design since 2004. They should be creative and get a new one for each season, like the 90s. Thanks for that. Keep your texts coming. Bring back the Bluebirds and the Swanettes. That's been suggested on the text by about 30 or 40 people. Got a full board of calls, so I better get back to your calls on it. Nick in Burnside, you there, Nick?
Afternoon, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Got an idea about retro round. Now, you need to make it an extra round and split it up. So all the traditional venues get played at, you know, your Western Ovals, your Arden Trees, et cetera, but make half the teams play home one year and then the following year switch it up. So those teams that were away for a retro round play the away games. I want to see the elephant back at Arden Street, Dwayne. I missed that growing up. I want to see the peanut man walking around the boundary. You flip me your $2 coins, you throw to make your peanuts back at you. Love it, Dwayne. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Thanks, Nick. I'm not sure Arden Street will hold the crowd that North would be able to pull, but appreciate your thoughts on it. Joe in Sunbury, you there, Joe?
Yeah, mate. That guy just, he beat me to it. Yeah, I was going to say the peanut man too, the Princess Park. I used to love those days.
Joe, for those people who don't know about the peanut man, can you give us your impersonation of what the peanut man sounded like when he walked the aisles with his bags of peanuts?
Peanuts! Peanuts!
Beautiful work, Joe. Beautiful work. Yeah, something else?
And there was a sort of a text to the Bluebirds. Yeah, I remember the Bluebirds. And probably the reserves. I reckon reserve games before the main game's awesome.
Yeah, the reserve games were great. Great to have you called, Joe. Thanks for your impersonation. I've got a Twitter poll up or an X poll up on the retro round idea. Yes or no? Should the AFL bring it back? Seems like a no-brainer, and according to you, it's a no-brainer as well. Yes, running at 93%. No, running at 7%. So 93% of people believe it would be a winner. Greg and Berwick, you've got a thought. Welcome to you, Greg. Great to have you on.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I reckon the AFL regular at a decent price, like years ago.
Is it getting a bit X-y? Is it? How much is the record these days?
You don't get much
train
down
at $10 or $15.
Bucks.
I'm not sure how much it is either. Last time I bought one was retro round, probably about 10 years ago. Hey, Pipe, great show, mate. Retro round. Would love socks up by all players. Cheers, mate, PT in Perth. That'd be a good look. Every player has to start the game with their socks up. Another one here, retro round. Bring back the dressing gowns on the bench. I like that as well. Keep your calls coming. Keep your texts coming. Matt in Roeville, you've got an umpiring proposal as we head to 12:28 and we have our first umpiring call. Welcome to you.
Yeah, hi, Dwayne. Big fan of the show. Hope you're well. Just my thought. Tell me what you think. Having a group of four umpires who stay as a group for the whole year, umpire every game together, train together, and they rotate on a weekly basis, might get a bit more consistency in our umpiring calls. And then when it comes to finals, having a best performance stays on, goes into the next game.
Appreciate your call, Matt. Well, we're going to talk some umpiring after two, by the way. So Shane McAdoo, former AFL umpire, who umpired over 500 VFL AFL games, is going to join us. That's on the Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu after two. So make sure you stick around Dermot Brereton also to join us. Grab your calls. Darren in Blackburn, we're going to hear Darren.
Dwayne, very, very sadly, the Peanut Man cannot return for retro round, considering that this December will be the 23rd anniversary of his passing.
Right.
And he would have been 90, he'll be 90, well, yeah, August the 12th is the 94th anniversary of his birthday. So, and the cry was, Bernard, Bernard, and I know this because the Peanut Man was my uncle, Dwayne, my mother's brother.
And what did he do during, did he have another job? I presume he did. Was he in the peanut industry, Darren?
He managed a city news agency, Dwayne. It was a wholesale news agency, and there was a massive table down the back, sort of out of the way, where he would bag his peanuts on a Thursday. And I would often help him on a Thursday evening after, you know, after uni or something like that. And basically anyone that went into his news agency to see him got roped into bagging peanuts, and anything he didn't sell at the VFL on the Saturday, he traipsed off to Preston City Oval or Coburg or whatever on the VFA. And look, I know there's a lot of conjecture among many, many people over the years as to which footy team he barracked for, what his favourite ground was and things like that. In his later years, his favourite selling ground was Windy Hill. But he was the family disgrace, Dwayne, because he was a diehard Carlton supporter. Absolutely mad, and the greatest blue he ever saw was big John Nicholls. Loved him.
Darren, before you go, thanks for your story. Hold the line, by the way. We've got something for you from the prize cabinet. You've got a free race voucher for you and a guest at Power Play Moorabbin. Power Play, Melbourne's all-new two-level electric kart track. Race down to the opening this Friday, 94 to 98 Cochrane's Road, Moorabbin. And if I wasn't on air, I'd be down there for the opening as well. That sounds like a ripper place to go and have some fun. So hold the line for that. But before you go, Darren, just give us that that impersonation of him again.
Bernard, 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 Bernard.
Thank you for your time. Mark in Adelaide, you there, Mark?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I enjoy hearing about the retro round and, yeah, I miss the torpedo.
That's true.
Screwy, as we used to call it in Adelaide.
That's true, yeah.
What I'm ringing you about is actually, I enjoy talking about the retro round, but the game's changed. Just one thing on the concussion. I know some players wear a soft head guard, and they say that doesn't stop concussion, but it helps with like a head knock, like when Rankin bumped heads with Stasevich, that type of knock.
Yeah.
But a lot of players, when their body goes back, as we all know, their body hits the ground first, and then the head, the movement of the head is what the doctors and the specialists say is what causes a concussion. I think the game has changed where maybe someone needs to come up with some technology in the Guernsey which stabilises the neck a bit and stops it, that backward movement that, you know, is causing a lot of concussions. What do you think?
Well, they've got that in the NFL, but you need a gridiron helmet and the brace that goes around it as well. They've got it in motor racing as well, but I don't think it could work in the AFL game, Mark. But it's an interesting thought. I don't think we'll ever head-to-head being protected by a helmet phase of AFL, but I think the way we're going, we're definitely going to keep having the evolution of the game to make it safer as possible for the head. We've gone probably too far, I think, this week, but maybe Toby Bedford will have his appeal heard tonight successfully, and we're back to having the world back on its axis again, and he'll get off and he'll be free to play, and we'll wonder what we did for 4 days of carrying on, given that we're back to where we probably should have been, and Toby Bedford legally being able to play. Great to have your call, by the way. Thanks for jumping on, Mark. Daniel Nell will come to you very shortly. We need to get a quick break away. Brad in Clifton Springs before the break, though. Brad, thanks for holding.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you, buddy?
Good.
What about possibly the best name in sport, Bradman Best?
From last night's NRL game?
Absolutely.
I reckon Will Power. What about Will Power, who is our IndyCar star from Australia? It's not a bad name either, is it?
Oh, I think that Bradman's a bit more Australian. Bradman Best. What a name, Dwayne.
Yeah, it is very Aussie. Brad, thanks for your call, Brad. And that's probably our best call for the day so far.
On Deck Business loans for up to $250,000. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Midday Matters for Club Tokenball, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the golf package team today. Back to your calls for Midday Matters. Noel in Brisbane, thanks for holding, Noel.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. I just had a question on the concussion affair. I just wanted to pose a scenario. The ball comes into the 50 and a pack of players fly for a mark. One player takes a spectacular mark, but unfortunately he brings his knee up and hits another player in the head at the time, but that player goes down with concussion. Does the player taking the mark get 3 weeks for no duty of care?
No, because he's actually marked the ball, Noel, and under the AFL rules, the mark has always been a part of the game. If you're aiming to get the ball, it's always been your out as part of our game. If you're taking possession of the ball, aiming to get the ball, always been part of our game, Noel. I can't ever see that changing, even though if you're rattling that cage right now that it should be changed or it will change, but that's not a cage I'm rattling. Appreciate your call on that. Peter in Romsey, are you there, Peter?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. G'day, mate. On the retro round, I'd like to see it go back to the, you know, the white coats and the hats for the goal umpires, the white, you know, the umpires on the field being white, and then get all the teams to have the original, as best they can, the original jumpers.
I'd love to see David Roden in a white coat as well with the hat on and his big smile. I'd love it, Peter. Great to have your call. Really appreciate you jumping on. Barry and Rye, you there, Barry? Thanks for holding.
G'day, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call, mate. Being retro around, I thought you might like to talk to us about shepherding. That was a favourite thing to do back in the day. Now, is it still legal? And what is the difference between shepherding and blocking?
Well, shepherding, theoretically, you've got your arms out to shepherd, Barry. And if you block, you're just sort of hip and shouldering or blocking. But you still are allowed to do both. You're not allowed to go at the head, and you're not allowed to do it off the play, and you're not allowed to do it either with excessive force. So let me just explain what excessive force might be. If I'm standing under the ruckman and the umpire tosses the ball in the air for a ball up and the ball has only just left the umpire's hands, someone's not allowed to run through me at a million mile an hour and smack my ribs hard with his shoulder. It's not high, but it's not allowed because it's excessive in the circumstance, Barry. So, yeah, you are allowed to shepherd or block still.
Thanks, mate.
All good. Good to have you call. Tom in Berwick, you there, Tom?
Yeah, good afternoon, Wayne. I want to get your thoughts. I think it was on Tuesday morning. It wasn't Wayne. It was Jared had Phil Davis on his program, and they were talking about the concussion protocols, and Phil Davis mentioned that, you know, he thought that it, that the players going forward, you know, 10 years from now, that they could be signing a waiver before they play, outlining the risk of a concussion.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? And could you see that happening?
Well, you can sign a waiver. You can sign a waiver, or it can be in your standard contract that you sign up. But every employer must still have a workplace that is safe, Tom. And if something extraordinary happens in the workplace that makes it unsafe, you still have a legal option to take them to court, even though you signed a waiver to say that you will not, Tom. So in an extraordinary circumstance, if you go and work at a workplace and their shelving isn't tied to the wall correctly and it all collapses on top of you, you might have signed a waiver to say that you'll work under normal conditions and you take a risk to work there. But if there's something that happens that is extraordinary, Tom, and it's due to their negligence, you can still take legal action.
Yeah, it was just, I just found Phil Davis's, I guess, comments quite polarising for a player that's recently out of the game, you know, like someone of his ilk that even throw that in the ring. I just thought it was quite different, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah, but Tom, so you might sign a waiver as an AFL player that you play AFL football and you are prepared to cop the circumstances regardless. But then if then someone walks up to you off the play whilst you're walking into your quarter time huddle and just king hits you from behind, Tom, and puts you in hospital, then you should have an opportunity to take legal action, shouldn't you? Because that's an extraordinary circumstance, even though you signed to actually play the game under the normal parameters.
Oh, look, I fully agree with you, Dwayne. I just feel like, you know, that the game is heading in such a strange direction with tackling and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, if there was a player movement toward, you know, signing a waiver in regards to tackling and the chances of being concussed, I don't agree with it or disagree with it. It's just something that I want to talk about, that's all.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate your call. As I said all week, I would be happy if Toby Bedford got a week for his tackle. I would think that that was deterrent enough for any player in the future that wants to run down tackle someone from behind to say to himself, okay, I can run down tackle a person from behind, but if I cause a concussion, then I'm going to be out for a week. Now, if I don't try and roll him in the tackle, I might be out for two or three. So my thought is that three for what Toby Bedford did is excessive. I don't think it was worthy of three, but I don't think that people would be jumping up and down if it was only one. So that's where I'm of the belief that the AFL needs to have a mechanism that does allow for one game suspension to be given to a Toby Bedford, not to have a circumstance or a mechanism where it's either zero or three. And I think they will do that at the end of the year, even though Gerard Whateley doesn't think they will. Gerard Whateley believes that they want three to be the outcome for all tackles like Toby Bedford going forward. Surely not. Surely not. We're going to get to a common sense middle ground on the Toby Bedford style tackle. And there's a couple of texts that have come through. Out of both tackles, Pipe, what's your opinion? What's worse, Bedford or Cameron's? I would have thought Cameron's is worse. And I do think Cameron's was worse. I think Charlie Cameron's tackle was excessive in the circumstance. And I'm more than happy for Charlie Cameron to have a week. But again, we've for some reason got this zero or three parameter, and they need to change that at the end of the year. Another one here, hey, Dwayne, do you think Charlie will get off? Cheers, Paul. I don't think Charlie has got as much chances of getting off as Toby Bedford has of getting off tonight. I think Toby Bedford will get off tonight. So thanks for your texts on that. Keep them coming. 0433 98 1116 is the text machine, brought to us by 40 Winks and Temper. Before the break, Daniel and Elwood, you there, Daniel?
I am, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mate, I reckon you and I are genuinely of different hardwiring in terms of clarity for rules versus this idea of giving a guy 1 week or a few. But I just wanted to say respect you for being a man of your word yesterday when you chatted with Harry Sheasel in terms of asking him for his clarity on both arms pinned. And I kind of feel vindicated in terms of people being confused at the moment, Dwayne, because he's confused. Last night, the AFLCA put out a statement saying all the players are confused, which I'd suggest means the coaches are confused. So I think the fundamental challenge that we've got, and obviously there's going to be an appeal tonight, which shows that things still aren't clear in clubs' minds, is, whether or not that rule's going to be changed and put in carbon copy next year. So look, I don't think there's going to be middle ground, mate. I think that Jared's right. I think they're going to have to legislate it and make it clear that you cannot pin both arms and take someone into the ground, because one of the outcomes is concussion, and you can't give a guy a week on prelim final weekend and have him miss out on a granny. It's just unfair.
So what's unfair about giving Toby Bedford 1 week for what he did, Daniel? What's unfair about that?
What's unfair about that, Dwayne, is that Toby Bedford is confused about the rules of the game. You can't where you're saying to
Daniel,
people...
Daniel, I didn't say yesterday, by the way, that the footy world isn't confused. I actually agreed the footy world is confused. So 100% the footy world is confused. What I said yesterday was that if you tackle a guy to the ground and you tackle him to the ground and he hits his head on the ground, most players would know that that would lead to a suspension. Now, most players are confused as to how long it's going to be, whether it's one or three. So, again, you and I agree to disagree. Daniel, you call every day. You and I agree to disagree. So, do you want to have the final word on this? I'm agreeing with you that players are confused, and you and I will agree to disagree on there won't be or will be any middle ground. I think there will be next year. You don't think there will. Jared doesn't think there will. That's okay. will agree to disagree on it, Daniel.
No worries. I mean, the big one, as I said, is I just keep going back to 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when Walsh hit his head on the deck with Dangerfield. If the guy was concussed, he's off. The AFL sent a message saying it's okay if he's not concussed. It would be a tragedy if someone in a prelim did a tackle that they thought was within the rules, but unfortunately someone hit their head and we don't have that clarity and they miss a grand final. So, that's why I think
then.
The players in the AFL-CA.
So you agree with me that Toby Bedford would be happy if he got a week?
No, I'm saying he wouldn't, because the action is not something that players are getting told, don't do that action. We're still determining outcomes based on consequence of whether a guy gets knocked out, not dealing with the symptoms.
Daniel, you're right. Every day you do this, but that's all right. It's all part of the fun of the fair of Midday Madness. You call, you get on. You held for 45 minutes. Great to have you call.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Ben in Bundoora. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you going?
Good.
Look, my job is actually safety, right? I look after workers' safety. And WorkSafe have this thing called hierarchy of control. So where you find there's a problem with concussion, that's the injury. How do you eliminate it? Well, obviously, one of the problems is maybe the grounds are too hard. Maybe have the grass a little bit longer. Maybe we water the grounds a bit more when we know we're going to have big dry spells. If we have 1% or 2% less concussions from guys hitting their heads on the ground, you've achieved something. Actually doing nothing or just suspending plays, it's just a masking of a problem. You're not doing anything to solve it.
Do you think the AFL needs to change? It's got a cleg meter, which it uses at every venue to check how hard the soil is. And I've seen them using it pre-game. Do you think they need to change the parameters and make all grounds safer and softer then, Ben, and have a different level on the cleg meter that the ground has to come up to?
100%. I'd like to see what the amount of players... Remember the old days when you played in those muddy footy fields?
Yeah.
How many players actually got... I'd like to know how many players got concussion from hitting muddy grounds to now. What's the number? And if it's way out, then you know there's a problem with the ground. Too heavy. It's too hard.
Yeah. No, I think I do agree with you, Ben. I think that's a great idea. And they should. As a Clegg impact hammer the AFL uses at every venue, maybe we should make the ground softer. And maybe that would make them less liable to players taking legal action against the grounds for being too damn hard. Mark on the Limestone Coast, you've been holding for an eternity again. I've done it to you again, Mark.
That's all right, mate. Ben's just stolen my thunder. Good on you, Benny. Now, I'd actually like to elaborate on that. The AFL has to look at this more holistically. They can't just expect to bring in a law and have it just change the whole situation. That's like the drug problem in society. It's got to be more of a holistic thing and looking at the whole issue. And Ben is dead right. In 2009, Demetrio was in complete denial about the hard surface at Etihad Stadium, not just with the increase of head knocks, but with ACLs. Now, recently we've seen... we've had a bit of a dry spell up in Queensland. The Gabba dry out, and we've seen a run of ACLs.
Yeah, Mark, I think the hardness of the ground and the inconsistency between the cricket pitch on some grounds and the rest of the oval has always been an issue, and maybe it's an issue again now. You're right.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Dwayne's World for On Deck. On Deck Business Loans, funding possible the same business day. Heading straight back to your calls for Midday Madness. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise and another hour of your calls. And if you want to send through your texts as well, I had a few texts on the pressure meter. Who is your top five on the pressure meter this week? By all means, keep your texts coming. 0433 98 11 16. Had a text asking what my top five is. I gave you my top four. In fact, if you want to dial the number, we've still got a Pink Lemonade voucher to give away. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. Give me your top five on the pressure meter, or let me know who I've got wrong. I've got Essendon at one, Collingwood at two, Port Adelaide at three, the Bulldogs at four, and I've actually got the Suns at five, ahead of the Dockers, ahead of Melbourne, ahead of Carlton, who've lost their past two. I've got the Suns at five. Suns need to break the cycle. Get an away win. This is the moment for the Suns again. Don't make it Groundhog Day. So I've got the Suns at five. 1-300-736-736 if you've got a thought on the pressure meter heading into this weekend's round, and we'll give away that Pink Lemonade voucher for a round of Great Goose Vodka at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond. Justin in Melton still holding from the previous hour, so apologies to you, Justin. Great to have you on the line, though. I appreciate you jumping on. You got a thought on the State of Origin last night?
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, it was a great game. I mean, New South Wales deserved to win. They were hammered in game one. They came back after that in game two in Melbourne. And, you know, I just think that Queensland just ran out of juice. I think there was two sin bins that I wasn't really happy with. The one with Cameron Murray from New South Wales getting involved in the melee from the sideline. I think that was just ridiculous. And, yeah, it was a great game. I mean, you know, the best team won. And as I can hold my head up high for Queensland, and hopefully they can come back better next year in that.
Justin, it was a good series. I suppose game three was the perfect script for that kind of game three. Maybe they could have had more tries scored, but I think everybody enjoyed it.
Definitely. And if you look back in history, there's been 9 wins for Queensland in deciders at Suncorp. And looking back at New South Wales, they've now won 3 deciders at Suncorp, where there've only been 2 draws in the decider. So I think history is going to repeat itself, I think, next year. But Queensland, you know, is coming back hard next year.
Thanks for your call, Justin. Just on the Origin ratings last night, so it was pretty much a record. Total reach of 5.4 2.6 million. National total TV audience of 3.65 million. What does that mean? Well, it was the highest rating Origin game since Game 1, 2016. And the highest rating Game 3 since 2013. So, yeah, it rated its socks off last night. It was a massive rating winner for the NRL last night. So thanks for your call on that, and to all those people that have texted in. I appreciate your text. Just on your text, let me go back to a few before I head back to your calls. By the way, plenty of lines open, and we're about to have a chat to Shane McInerney, former AFL umpire, who's umpired over 500 VFL AFL games. So we'll get to your calls and Shane very shortly. But great call on the firmness of the ground, 100%. Had a few of those come through on the text. Thank you for those people who sent those through. Plenty saying that was a great call. Hi, Dwayne. What about an unrealistic attempt at a mark which causes a player to get concussion? Is that a suspension? Cheers, Michael. It is. And I think Eric Hipwood got suspended for that earlier, well, a couple of years ago, I think it was, when he jumped into a marking contest with an unrealistic attempt and did collect someone with his knee. So if your attempt at a mark is unrealistic and you do cause a concussion, then you're going to get suspended. And that's a great way, I think, that the AFL has adapted that rule to still allow you to go at the ball in a marking contest. No, Dwayne, this is one that's against Heritage Round. And the Twitter poll, the X poll, is still up. It was running at about 93% in favour of having a retro round. But one here, no, Dwayne, it was called Heritage Round for a start. Retro round was Fox Footy's thing, but it's just a waste of supporters' and members' money. 1 week Heritage Round jumpers just for the sake of it. We have too many of these silly themed rounds. So thank you for that. I'll put you down as being against it coming back next year. Danny on the road. You there, Danny?
Yeah, g'day. How are you going?
Good.
I don't usually call you, so I'm a bit nervous. But, Dwayne, you know, the AFL deemed the tackles last weekend as reportable offences, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't now the umpires, right, with the AFL, and any tackles like that, even if it doesn't hit the head, right? Because it's a reportable offence, right?
Yep.
Shouldn't that be a free kick? It should be. They should be in sync.
Well, Danny, that is one of the problems. We've got tackles like this that are deemed to be a suspendable offence for 3 weeks, and yet they're not even free kicks at the time.
Exactly, yeah.
Which
that's
is
the dilemma.
That is exactly part of the ridiculous confusion. That is 100% Danny, and we need to get to a situation where at least the umpires know what's going to be illegal and what's not going to be illegal. Speaking of which, Shane McInerney to join us straight after the break. One here on the retro round. Geelong do a retro round at GMHBA Stadium every year. It's epic, so much fun for the fans, and the league should support it. Thanks for that as well. And hold on here, high pipe, random question. How come you're not flying over doing the Olympics? You'd be awesome, Jay, in Elsternwick. I have done a couple of Olympic Games, done the equestrian and done the speed skating and did the hockey. So it has been fun doing Olympic Games, but I love the footy, Daniel. I'm not going anywhere. Can't wait to get to the footy this weekend and every weekend until we're done, until October's here. So thanks for your text. I appreciate your love. Back with more after the break, including Shane McInerney to talk umpiring.
On Deck Business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
How much does the AFL really care about its umpires? How is it that the most professional and wealthy footy code in this country has a group of on-field officiators with no permanent ground to train on? And they haven't had a permanent ground since 2019 when they were removed from Princes Park. One night a week, they train at Marvel Stadium within one 50-metre arc. That's one 50-metre arc. All 80 of them. That's when it's available. Except usually it's not available, or it hasn't been this year, so the umpires are sent down to two soccer ovals under the Westgate Bridge, where there are no goalposts, no lines, but plenty of rabbit holes and a few dogs and a few disgruntled soccer players. The new umpire's boss, Stephen McBurney, started at AFL HQ today. He has a big job ahead of him, as do Andrew Dillon, Laura Kane and her team, to convince me that the umpires are a priority and not an afterthought. The umpires are not happy, Craig, and to add insult to injury, they've just been asked to take part in a reality TV show, a series about their lives and their ups and downs, etc. How embarrassing. How embarrassing is it going to look watching them train every week? Extraordinary to me.
Carolyn Wilson, that was in April on the umpires' facilities on Footy Classified. No permanent full ground, two soccer ovals or a half a marvel. We'll get Shane McInerney on very shortly to talk about that. Former umpire, superstar umpire, is about to join us. Timmy Moorabbin, though, is on the line, though, and you call, you get on. That's the promise. Tim, you've been holding a while. Welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to talk about the Clegg impact, how many you spoke about just before.
Yep.
There's a science behind it. Behind it all, like you look at horse racing, that's how they measure how hard or firm, soft rating of the track. If you're going to be using your guidelines for sport off of that, you're going to have to start rating the grounds as a heavy 8, soft 4, whatever you want to call it, and then scratch players depending on what grade they can play on the sports field on.
But could we say that it needs to be a good 4? Just for example, every ground needs to be a good 4. And previous, it was a good 3. So we've softened it up, the parameter for every ground now going forward.
Yeah, you could do that, Dwayne. But then what happens if you have 100 mil of rain for the week?
Yeah, I know that's going to change it, but it's not going to be ever going to be a good 4 hardness again. It's always going to be softer than that. At the worst, it's going to be a good 4 as opposed to a good 3 that it was last year when we had too many injuries. I think they can do it, Tim, and you're right. We do have measuring instruments these days that can measure. Carlos in Bentley, are you there, Carlos?
I am, Dwayne. How are you going today, mate?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good to have you.
Yeah, good to be back. Yeah, look, I'm just worried about our game of AFL football under the current regime. I know it's been said ad nauseum, but if Bedford does get done for 3 weeks, I think we're going to be witnessing the death of what we know as AFL football, what we grew up to love watching. Because if this happens, there will be no tackle in a few years' time. And for Andrew Dillon to cut... Now, he's got a tough job, don't get me wrong. But for him to come out and say the game has never been better because of record viewership, he reminds me a bit like Commodus, the Roman emperor that oversaw the beginning of the decline of the empire. he's given me those vibes, Dwayne, and I'm not liking it for the game, mate. I'm not liking it.
Carlos, well, he could get 3 weeks confirmed tonight, but they could overhaul the system at the end of the year, whereby next year he would only get one. So they could do that, or he could get off tonight. So there is a couple of avenues that are available for the AFL to get this fixed, but it's going to be an interesting watch, Carlos. Thanks for your call. Shane McInerney has been good enough to join me, former AFL umpire who umpired over 500 VFL AFL games. Great to have him back on the show. Welcome to you, Shane. Great to have you on.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Great to be on.
If you were going to do it all from scratch, if they walked up to you and said, how would you structure umpiring from now on? How would you do it? What would you do? Would you have 3, 4, 2? Where would you position them? What would you do if they asked you that?
$64 million question at the moment, Dwayne, isn't it? But look, they've obviously implemented a 4-umpire system. I think people need to be patient with it. If I think about, you know, the umpiring panel from a couple of weeks ago as an example, you know, 36 field umpires specifically needed to be selected. You know, of the 36, 10 were in their first or second season. So I think that, you know, the best way to learn, you know, is in the doing, and you can have as many skill sessions as you want. You watch as much videotape as you want, but until you're out there actually doing it, then you're developing that skill set and being effective. So I think that the 4-umpire system, I think they're on the right track with it. I think they just need to make the most of their resources. Potentially, you know, you've got games scheduled on Thursday, games scheduled on Sunday. Appreciate that there is a workload involved, but that workload is slightly reduced. So there might be capacity to use those more experienced guys a bit more frequently. Not that you'd want them doing, you know, 30 games a year. But I think, you know, calls to go back to 2-umpire or 3-umpire, I think the game's just moved on from those demands.
And under the current system, because of the amount of running they have to do, you couldn't have a situation where the same 4 umpires umpire Thursday and Sunday every week. Your best 4 get rewarded with 2 games a weekend.
I think that was always part of the sell of the 4-umpire system, that it would be, the potential was there to utilise your more experienced guys more often. Of course, you know, that would have to be a bit of a balancing act because you don't want to burn them out. But I know there's been different theories around, you know, you have the umpires on the outside, you get the boundary umpires to pay decisions, you goal umpires to pay decisions. The skill set of the field umpire to pay decisions is very unique. And, you know, in terms of enabling other, you know, match day officials to get involved in decision-making, I would shy away from. But I think now, you know, with 4 umpires, they've got the ability to have 2 umpires adjudicating every passage of play and every contest. And I think once they get more comfortable with the fact that it's not just the one guy making a decision, that they're both responsible, then I think we'll start to see better results. But I do think that, you know, we do need to be patient, as I said, with the 4-umpire system, not because it's just a new system they're getting to terms with, but you've also got a lot of guys that have added to the list in the last couple of seasons that just need some time.
So you don't think we've quite had the depth this year to go from, or last year to go from 27 umpires to 36 umpires, so 3 umpires per game to 4 umpires per game, but you think that'll be rectified in time?
Yeah, I do. Look, and I don't think there's anything unsurprising to say that, you know, that when you increase the list size, you know, the capabilities between those guys in the top 10 versus those guys perhaps ranked in the bottom 10, you know, won't be the same. Now, they're not going to be drastically different. You know, you're not talking, you know, a huge range of abilities here. But the fact of the matter is you've got 10 guys who are in their first or second year. I just reflect back on my own experience. You know, until you get to 100 games, you really perhaps, you know, haven't seen enough footy to really know how to respond and react. And AFL footy, you know, there's nothing, from an umpiring perspective, you can't replicate it in any skill session on the ground or watching video. There's only one way to really develop your skills and develop your capabilities. And we used to talk about that, you know, there's only one test, you know, that's out there, 2:00, then at the MCG on a Saturday.
Is there an issue, though, with having 4 different opinions as to what descent is, or 4 different opinions of what protected area is or what prior opportunity is? Because it seems to us as a watcher that when you've got 4 different umpires, they tend to have four different opinions sometimes on how long the piece of string is.
Oh, look, that's definitely a risk and definitely a challenge, Dwayne. Make no mistake about it, you know. I would like to think, though, that, you know, a lot of those, you know, perhaps hole in the ball, we can understand where that's at in terms of its evolution, even, you know, even in my time, that the interpretation of that particular part of the game was always changing. I think we've probably seen a couple of changes this year mid-season, which is quite unusual. So I think that's certainly drawn attention to it. You know, perhaps there is a capacity at the end of the year, and I'm sure the AFL have this penciled in, you know, to sort of white sheet, you know, what do we want tackling situations to be? And that's not just around where the discussion has been this season about prior opportunity, about reasonable time, but we're also seeing the impact that it has on players in terms of what they can do and can't do in tackling situations. And I know you've been speaking today about, you know, some of the tribunal decisions. And I think that there is a big disconnect here because you've got the MRO supported by the tribunal handing down a 3-week suspension in the case of the Richmond fellow. But in the moment, there was no free kick paid. So there's something missing here. Now, I don't propose that I've got the exact solution, but I think there's enough differences or enough uncertainty. And we're not just talking about making rules easier for umpires here. We're talking about what's best for the game, what supports the players so that they know what they can and can't do. Because to be fair to the players, they're generally, over time, they've always been really responsive. They just go with the changes. They sort of, whilst they might have their own personal opinions, you can see where we've come with, you know, in terms of head-high tackles, et cetera. The players just want pretty well, so I'm open to them to certainly be very clear as to what is and isn't acceptable.
Can I ask you about Sam Landsberger's report on the midweek tackle last night? I'll play it to you. The accusation that you guys or the current mob don't train together. Here's Sam Landsberger from last night on Fox Footy.
Now, I can tell you tonight that the AFL umpires, they have not completed a skills session training together in several years. Several years. Now, that is in stark contrast to state leagues where umpires train together twice a week. You might ask, what happens at an umpire's training skills session? They do their fundamentals. They practice their positioning, their double whistle technique, their setting the mark, the bouncing of the ball, and obviously their decision-making and at these skills sessions. But when some AFL umpires have been sent out to community leagues in recent weeks and months and they've been asked to run skills session, it has dawned on them that they don't actually know what to do because they no longer do that at the elite level. Now, AFL umpires, they attend Marvel Stadium on Tuesday nights to receive their video feedback from the ARC and umpire analysis manager, Tim Neville. And
so that's the coaching where they watch some of the big decisions, etc., get the feedback?
That's their coaching. They then do their own personalised fitness program where they run out on a Thursday or a Wednesday afternoon at a local oval. They put their GPS on and they clock the required kilometres to appease their fitness bosses there. The closest they get to doing a skills session is when they attend club visits and umpire AFL club training sessions. They make about $400 for that. But obviously a lot of these umpires, they have full-time jobs outside of football, so they can't attend those sessions.
So your thoughts on that, Shane? Is that true or not? Is there occasion when the 50 umpires get together and train together or not?
Well, Dwayne, look, I do find that article and that legs out there that was broadcast on Foxwood, I do find it quite peculiar. One, for its accuracy, and second, for its relevance to actually on-field performance. So from what I understand, the skills are practiced regularly. So the claim that they haven't been undertaken for years, I'm not sure that I could support that from what my understanding is. So whilst perhaps it might not be every week, more often than not, from what I understand, the umpires do walk through different skill scenarios, and as what Sam may have outlined there, whether it be a set kick control situation, whether it be, you know, a run to cover, a supporting other umpire situation, whether it be a shot after the siren situation, they will walk through those. So I've got to say, I don't agree with the premise that that they haven't been doing skills for years. So I'm not sure where that idea might come from. And secondly, I know it was sort of presented with the
with the scope of it causing a detraction in on-field performance. Well, I think what's been frustrating the fans and frustrating any supporters, and certainly the umpires in some way, is various decisions that have been made or not made, as the case may be. And I don't really see the immediate relationship there between skill decisions that may or may not be happening. So, but look, the broader point, should the umpires be training more often together? I think yes, in my opinion. I think if I go back to the comment I made about, you know, 10 first-year or second-year guys on the list, I think that, and look, you know, we are dealing with these issues in a post-COVID environment, I should say, that I think that there's opportunity there for the expanded list now to make sure that they've got the right cultural capital available. You know, you've got new people coming to the list, you know, guys that have been there for 1 year, guys that have been there for 20 years. There's nothing like being on the training track together, sweating it out, supporting each other, pushing through the hard times to build some good teamwork and some good culture. So I think that that's probably something that they could enhance. I recognise the fact that it's been well discussed around the umpires not having a home base. So I think that's critical. And I guess that was the tenure of Caroline Wilson's comments that you played early on. I think that's an absolute must, because without that availability of a space to run into training, I don't think that's sustainable as you bring new umpires into the group. I think they've got to do the physical conditioning together. Now, I'm not saying it has to be every week. Perhaps the AFL come up with an arrangement, you know, once every month, we down tools, we stop watching video, we don't worry about guest speakers, we don't worry about skills. Let's get out there and do an hour and a half long conditioning session.
So do you have, the umpires are spread around Australia, do all the umpires get together once a month in Melbourne or in one venue at all? Or because they're spread, they never get together? The national list never does? So if you're umpiring with an umpire from Perth, for example, you might not have had a training session with him at all. So not the whole 50 get together?
No. They might in the pre-season, perhaps, you know, when they might bring the group together to talk about, you know, what the different rule interpretations might be for any particular season, although that probably only lasts a month. But they will have that opportunity. But you know, it's a long season, and look.
When should they have I'm of the belief that if you've got 50 umpires spread around Australia, once a month you should all get together on one venue, on one ground, and train together as a unit. Maybe not every week, but surely once a month isn't too much to ask for the AFL to fly all 50 together.
I think that's quite reasonable. At the least, Wayne. I mean, during my time, Dwayne, you know, all three umpires were based in Melbourne. So again, we've had this post-COVID arrangements that perhaps have carried on, where umpires have now, if they wanted to, gone back to their home states, for the want of a better term. I'm not sure if that's sustainable. You know, as I say, I think in the moment, for 1 year, for 2 years, whatever. But if I was a new umpire, or a young umpire rather, in those states outside of Victoria, I would want to be in Melbourne. There's no way. It's so hard to be able to, you know, develop your skill, develop your craft, to be remote from what the environment in Melbourne is for AFL football. So I think these might all be issues that might be on the table now that we've got a new director of umpiring, Stephen McBurney. I'm sure he's sitting back, looking at all this, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and when those improvement opportunities are.
So, in essence, you're not going to move state unless you can become a fully professional umpire, are you? You're not going to move to Victoria then unless that's an avenue. So is that going to be an avenue in the future for a dozen umpires across Australia to do that?
Look, Dwayne, I've got thoughts on that, and I agree that there needs to be that support outside of umpiring in its, you know, current capacity. But I've always often thought that, you know, what does full-time mean? Well, perhaps full-time means you're employed by the AFL. You know, all these, I mean, as a field umpire, you know, the nature of that skill or that craft is that you're usually in your mid-20s before you actually make it to the AFL list. Now, by that stage, you've started to develop a professional career. And these are all skills, whether it be in education, whether it be in law, whether it be in finance. You know, these are all skills that the AFL themselves have available. So I think there's a capacity with a bit of will and a bit of creativity to perhaps have field umpires employed in a full-time capacity with the AFL, so that you know, that push and pull argument about being privately employed and also having a day job, have the umpiring job, those boundaries can at least be, you know, diluted a bit to provide that overall balance, because you can't have full-time umpires in a sense of they only umpire. I mean, they're not going to watch holding the ball decisions from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You know, they're not going to be calling, running around a football over, calling play onto themselves for 4 hours a day. So there's got to be some sort of, you know, full-time engagement for sure. But I think perhaps a model like that might be something that would be attractive to a lot of people.
And one last one, Shane. So they still don't have a permanent full ground venue to train as you know it right now, the umpires?
Look, Dwayne, umpires never had a full-time venue. In my whole time...
A full ground to train at. You don't have a full ground. You don't have a specific venue to get together when you do get together once a week.
No, they don't. They don't have AFL-sized ground to utilise. No, that's right. And I think that's where the big need at the moment is. And, you know, I think, you know, in the past, they have sort of utilised AFL grounds, but with the AFLW competitions coming on at both the AFL level and the VFL level, now the ability to sort of work in with existing clubs to get access to grounds is extremely compromised. So, you know, in some ways with the explosion we've had in the different W competitions, perhaps the umpires have been pinched out the other end as well in terms of getting access to some of these venues.
Shane, been great to chat to you. I really appreciate you jumping on. You've clarified a lot of stuff for us.
Excellent, Dwayne. Great to chat, and look forward to catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, so do I. Shane McInerney, former AFL umpire, umpired over 500 VFL AFL games. As we drill down on umpiring for Tool Kit Depot's massive clearance sale, which is on now. You can drop into Tool Kit Depot. They've got their massive clearance sale. Your thoughts on all of that? 1-300-736-736. We'll continue the drill down with you straight after the break. But as you heard, they don't have, as Carolyn Wilson reported weeks ago, they don't have a permanent full ground to train on in Victoria, and they don't get together. The whole national group do not get together once a month, let alone once a week. That is bizarre to me that you wouldn't get all 50 umpires together, fly them all in, have a session once a month. That surely will make them better and more familiar with each other. Unpack your suitcase, baby. As we continue the drill down for Tool Kit Depot's massive clearance sale, get up to 40% off your favourite tool brands. Lenny and Darryl Warren, welcome to you, Lenny. In fact, Lenny, we'll come to you in a sec. Robin in Ockham Hills, we'll come to you as well. Gazza in Carnegie, you want to talk umpires? Welcome to you, Gazza.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Hey, why don't the hobos, and that's the umpires, why don't they use the centre of a dog track or racetrack, flatten it out and use that as a training track?
Appreciate you. I'm trying to work out what you're trying to say there, Gazza. Were you having a go at them? Thanks for your call. I'll try and work my way through that with my own head. Ricky in Ringwood via Cambodia. What can you, Rick?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call. I've been watching the AFL over in Cambodia for about the last 8 years. I watched most of the games. Unfortunately, I've been trying to teach a lot of people how the AFL and the game works, and they enjoy it, but it's becoming harder and harder and confusing to explain the rules. My main point is I was an ex-AFL umpire. I umpired from the 70s all the way right through the 2020s and umpiring over 100 games a season. The AFL just doesn't want to listen to the major stakeholders and in the supporters. Obviously, through your radio program, a lot of people have their say, but the AFL just don't want to listen to us, the major stakeholders.
Yeah, Rick, hopefully they do start listening, because the major stakeholders are actually the people that pay the bills. And there's some intelligent people out there that ring this station, not just my show, but all day, with some great ideas. And some of them need to be thought through by the AFL, including, I mean, when it comes to rules, etc. I mean, have a listen to the fans. They pay the bills. Robert in Ockham Hills. Welcome to you, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Dwayne. I just want to start by saying that back in the 80s and 90s, I did a lot of state league umpiring, so I'm not doing that now. And back in the 80s and 90s, the rules were far more understandable. As fans now, we're throwing these rules at not only the players but the fans, and there's that many more of them. Players are professional, and here we are in 2024, and we have AFL umpires still having daytime jobs, and they're semi-professional. They go to match days or game days, and they get paired up with three other guys or whatever, and we get different interpretations, different rules. The problem, in listening to Shane McInerney, the biggest problem, and it should have happened 10 or 15 years ago, is that the AFL umpires need to become professional, just like players, so they can be all on the same page. It is a massive job to get to a game and perform at an acceptable level. We're not seeing that at the moment. They need to be sitting down, having meetings, having discussions, having coaching sessions every single day during the footy season and leading up to the footy season. That is not obviously not happening, and this is why we are getting so many inconsistencies, particularly now in 2024. It's not 1984 anymore. But there's so many different rule changes now compared to 40 years ago. So how in the heck can the umpires perform consistently when they're not even doing that? So as far as I'm concerned, the AFL and the coaching fraternity need to sit down at the end of this footy season. They need to start making some really big decisions. Now, in my opinion, we've gone past the situation where these umpires have daytime jobs. If they want to umpire, it becomes a full-time job. Umpiring now is a full-time job. It should be, and they should treat it like it. And yeah, enough of this stuff, and, you know, I mean, we've had enough of it. They need to be professional, like the footballers.
Yeah, I don't think all 50 need to be, but I do believe that they need to have a dozen that can umpire AFL, AFLW. They'll obviously get Monday and Tuesday off. They can do training sessions at AFL and local clubs. There's enough there to be done, I think, for at least a dozen full-time umpires to be able to do that as their job. We'll take a break here with Dwayne's World.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Lenny, Darren Warren, you there, Lenny?
Yeah, mate. Hi, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
I'll try and make it quick, mate. Just quickly, your commentary's been outstanding lately. Thank you. As for Bedford, when he tackled Taranto, you can see that this has come about a direct result of the rule tweaking and tackling, and they have to get rid of it. You can see more players now trying to break the tackles, where instead of just getting tackled, they've got a little allowance where they're hoping to get caught with the ball, where it's a ball up, or they haven't got anything to lose. Like, I mean, and if they drop the ball, as they did previously, like the last 10, 20 years, they'll drop it and try and protect themselves when they're getting tackled to the ground. And I reckon they're contributing to their own demise where they're getting, like, even the Charlie Cameron tackle, you see the other player, he turns backwards and he's trying to break it that split second where, like, at least he's made an attempt.
Yeah, Lenny, there is, I think, more leniency, or has been more leniency, I think, given to the ball winner, where you can drop it and it'll be deemed not clear in the tackle, or you didn't have prior opportunity, so you can just drop it and make an attempt. But I think they've wound that in a bit, and I think it's been a good wind in, Lenny. Let's hope there is an adjustment, I think, with all players. I've got my fingers crossed there will be an adjustment. Hey, Midday Madness, rapid fire, straight after the break. We went a little long with Shane McInerney. James, Stu, James, and all of our callers on the line, 1300 736 736. We'll get to you straight after this for Midday Madness Rapid Fire.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Grab out your calls, Midday Madness Rapid Fire. You call, you get on. That's the promise. But try and be quick if you can on the way to the 2 o'clock news. James in Mulgrave, you got a thought, James? Talking to you.
G'day, mate. I was just, I've got the opinion that the AFL Rules Commission has to come back. It has to be formed by former players. That can feed into more deliberation with umpires. And I think that more ex-players should try to take up umpiring. I think it would fit the part-time role that they play now, and I think they see the game as best as anyone. They've played it for so many years.
Yeah, James, great call. Spoke to Dermot Brereton on this program about it yesterday or 2 days ago. I think the Rules Committee should be brought back. Not my idea, even though I mentioned it on this program a couple of days ago. It's been talked about behind closed doors by a number of people that I know for a long time. Even Dermot suggesting get all the legends that want to be part of it from the AFL Hall of Fame to be part of it. But we do need the Rules Committee back. You are 100% correct. Hold the line. You've got a Pink Lemonade voucher for a round of Grey Goose Vodka to share with some friends. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. James and Ivanhoe. Hello, James.
G'day, Dwayne. Mate, I'm just ringing up to say thank you very much. I've been lucky enough to get a grandmother's ham and the Underworks voucher. And, mate, they are the best undies and socks you'll ever get in your life. Fantastic. So I just want to say thanks very much to Underworks and the grandmother's ham. And thanks to you guys. And keep up the good work.
Good on you, James. Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu still to come. Dermot Brereton is going to join us, and they are the makers of the grandmother ham. Jason in South Australia. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Good.
I was just having an idea for a retro round, but we could have a retro gather round. What are your thoughts on that?
And I don't mind that. That's a good idea. So everyone goes to Adelaide with their old retro round gear and gets amongst the, almost feels like it's the 70s in Adelaide. Some would say it is anyway, Jason.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, then you could have the Elder Park, have the footy festival. You could have, player appearances from, old school players and stuff like that. Back in the day.
I love it. I love it. Wind the clock back more than just half an hour for retro round in Adelaide. Good call. Dwayne's all thanks to On Deck. On Deck Business Loans funding possible the same business day. Keep your text coming through on the 40 Winks Temper text. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper. T-E-M-P-U-R. And you can get your unique bed match profile and find the right bed for you. 40 Winks, serious about sleep. Still to come, Dermot Brereton is going to join us after the break. So we'll have a chat to Derm. And don't forget, if you're in the market for a new or used car, drop down and see the team at Werribee Kia. They are a fantastic bunch of guys and girls down there. David, Janan, Aid, Jim, they've got a whole heap of new and used stock down there. I was down there a couple of days ago at Werribee Kia kicking the tyres myself, and they've got a heap of new stock, they've got a heap of demo stock, and they've got a heap of new, used stock as well. So drop down, tell them we sent you if you're in the market for a new or used car. They've got some great deals on during their July sale. Dermot Brereton to join us after the break. And a quick reminder, SEN Stadium is here and now available at all AFL venues. You can listen to the SEN call with zero delay for the ultimate game day experience. Just go to the SEN app and you can check out the new and improved SEN Stadium. And SEN Stadium is back in stadium tomorrow night, of course, when we call the Essendon v Adelaide game. Dermot Brereton and the AFL Nation team, all of us. Jared Whateley's back, so that's good news for all of us. Jared Whateley back in the house for the game called tomorrow night. Stick around, a massive hour still to come on Dwayne's World. Thanks to On Deck, funding possible the same business day for On Deck Business Loan.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World, and we're heading back to your calls for a little bit of Lost in the Wash later on this hour, but Dermot Brereton not far away from joining us. A couple of texts. Keep your texts coming through, 0433 98 11 16. Dwayne, today's newspaper article confirmed Bailey Scott not getting a 50-metre penalty was a mistake. Why hasn't Laura Kane had a presser to apologise for her previous explanation about it was not a mistake? Dennis and Coolaroo. Yeah, look, a lot of us watched the midweek tackle last night, but we all knew, I think, even with the AFL explanation, that there was a mistake made there. So it doesn't matter what comes from the AFL sometimes. I think we all know what our version of events and the truth is. And I think we all thought that that was a mistake fest, that last 30 or so seconds. Hey Pipe, there was 1,178 tackles in round 18, but only two are under scrutiny. So it's all about the outcome for the tackle, 100%. Cheers, Catter. Yeah, it is. You can tackle a guy and not get concussed, and you're fine. If you concuss him, then you're not fine. Well, we've known that for a long time. That's been the case for a long time. And Dwayne, the Pies are entitled to get a get-out-of-pressure-free card after winning the premiership last year. Pies fans are in acceptance of this year, and it's only the outside noise from other supporters. KD in Geelong, KD accepting that the Pies might have a gap year. Dermot Brereton's been good enough to join us. Thanks to Tyre Power, Falcon Tyres, your top tip for value. Welcome back to you, Derm.
Hey there, Duano. How are you going?
I'm good. Do you think the AFL world will be back on its axis tonight when Toby Bedford gets off at appeal, or do you think we'll still be careering into a universe unknown and he'll keep his three-week suspension?
Well described. Previous to this point in time, I would have had confidence in saying no, we will be back to where we should be. I just don't know. I just don't know anymore. I was having a good think about it, Dwayne, and my first game was back in 1982, and that was at senior level. So I've been involved longer than that, but that would give me 42 years in the AFL system of being a player, an administrator, a sometimes coach, and a media employee. This is, to me, the most disheartening period that we've stuck. And we've come through a few hurdles along the way, the advent of new teams. I've seen the admission of four new teams, the rebranding of teams. I've seen interchange come in. I've seen the interchange step up to an extraordinary level. We've seen the advent of coaches utilise defensive strategies that was never seen for the previous 90 years to the last 30 or so, and it's even become even more stronger than that. But at the moment, in the fundamentals of our sport, this is the most seismic shift that I think I've seen in 42 years, whereby the league is now telling us to tackle a player accordingly, appropriately, with the rules. And if he doesn't get concussed, it's play on, nothing to see here. But if he does get concussed with the tackle that is, to their description, applicable and illegal, if he does get concussed, you will get 3 weeks. It is the most disheartening decision I think I've seen in 42 years, and the most confusing by far. And it's actually really got me down for our sport, because you're like me. We love it, Dwayne. We absolutely love this code. It's changed somewhat, but we love it. And this is not what our sport is meant to be.
So, Dermot, you're in a position where you have had a lot of concussions. You've had a lot of guys thump you to the head. You obviously of my age, and you've got difficulty with parts of your body. I don't know exactly how many hurt, but I'm presuming that there's a lot of them that hurt. And I presume you've probably got some brain issues where you wonder, was that due to concussion, or was that because I drank too much or whatever? You've been in the same situation as many other players to try and work out where you're at, I suppose, health-wise, and what you can blame footy on. Have you had phone calls and discussions about this kind of stuff with many people over the course of the last couple of decades to come to the decision where you're at with how safe the game should be?
Yeah, many discussions. I mean, I've had my head scanned. Yeah, I've got a bit of stuff in there, which, you know, isn't for the better. And yeah, I've had close to 30 operations due to football now. I mean, I can't bend my left knee past right angle. I can't shake hands properly anymore because of the broken knuckles. I've had calcifications cut out of my head. I can't sleep on one side of my body because of the half a dozen shoulder injuries I've had all operated on and reconstructed, and can't run on the road because, you know, there's no cartilage in my knees. And I mean, the list will go. I've got steel plates. I've got one in my shoulder. I've got one in my cheek. The list goes on, and I have no qualms. I would do it all again tomorrow. And I will tell you, for the love of God, I will not take on the AFL for what's happened to my head. That's the risk that I thought I was taking. Even back then, I knew it was a dangerous sport and I took it on. I love the game so much, I will never see the AFL about recompensation for head injuries. Gee, you know, I mean, my surgeon's actually cut 6 calcifications out of the back of my head, where the backman, the accepted, you would have got it too, the accepted method for spoiling was to punch you flush in the back of the head. But I'm never going to do that. The game's been good to me, and I love it. And there is now a situation when I understand it with Andrew Dillon, and he has to make sure that there's a game in 20 years. And therefore, he has to make sure that this head issue, the concussion issue, doesn't drain the AFL of all its resources financially when people come to actually make claims. I think he's been handed a poison chalice. He's such a smart and intelligent, erudite man, but he's been handed a poison chalice here to get through. This is the biggest thing facing our game, is the how to navigate through this area of what will be financial claims for incapacitation through these head injuries and still have a sport that looks like AFL. The other thing I was thinking of, Dwayne, is that Paddy Dangerfield applied the same tackle and got off it. I would honestly plead with Patrick Dangerfield to actually say, I'm the president of the Players Association. I can gather how many hundreds of signatures need be in this time, and so the Players Association deem that tackle to be totally legal and not worthy of suspension to a boy who's finding his way and did absolutely everything by the book in the way he applied that tackle. The rudimentals of that tackle were ideal, perfect. Unfortunately, the lad Taranto goes to ground and his head whips into the ground just because of the angle he started to run on. I would hope the Players Association make a voice about this. This is just—it's just wrong, the direction that this is taking. And I hope sanity prevails tonight.
So the AFL Players Association has put out a statement. At the end of the year, there is an opportunity for everyone to make some changes. So the AFLPA can make a change. The AFL can make a change to its MRO system. So the Toby Bedford incident isn't 0 or 3. It's somewhere in between if they want to make it that. Where do you think we should arrive at the end of this year?
It's a poison chalice for Andrew Dillon, because it's all day long. That's 0. It is 0. It's not 3, and it's not somewhere in between. That's their talk. That is the gradual acclimatizing us to, if somebody gets injured, somebody has to pay. And that's not what our game is, and that's not what it should be. It was a perfectly laid tackle without spite, without any horror intended. It was just copybook. Where will it end? They have to find some way. And people said, you sign a waiver. I mean, waivers, we've seen that in courts of law in Australia. They don't stand up. You can't take away, you can't sign it and take away your human rights to actually come back at somebody, an employer, if they haven't provided a safe work environment thereafter. But it is, I just hope there's more people such as myself who will never take on the, I will never go at the AFL over, you know, a little bit of grey matter that's been knocked around. It's just, the game's been good to me. I get that and I understand that. And it hasn't been great to everybody. But I don't envy Andrew Dillon at all, because, as I said, he's incredibly smart, and it's seeing this on the horizon. It's not lost on me that they have selected a CEO with a great legal business background acumen that can help navigate his way through this. Because very murky, very, very murky. I don't know what the answer is, and it's for greater minds than you and I put together. And having said that, you're one of the best at the quizzes that I've ever seen.
But there needs to be a big, needs to be a think tank at the end of the year, though, doesn't there? And they need to
absolutely, get some former players. Absolutely, yeah. There has to be. Well, we have to know what direction we're taking, because at the moment we are wading into the deep, and we don't know whether there's a sinkhole in front of us. We don't know whether there's a reef in front of us. We don't know whether there's a boat in front of us. We are wading in, and at any moment our head could go underwater. We don't know the direction of what our sport is taking if this is the way we're going to go. You have a set of rules. Somebody applies them to the letter. And by the cruel hand of fate, another person gets injured from it, and suddenly that perfect set of rules that you applied in laying a tackle is null and void, and you get suspended. I mean, I would think the average wage for these types of players, and Toby Bevitt had a good year, so I would imagine, let's say he's on $500 a year. He's giving service to that club. The service is getting, the club is getting service of roughly approximately $20,000 to $25,000 worth of service per game. So you want to take away $75,000 worth of service because a boy applied a tackle ideally, perfectly, but another lad landed imperfectly and an injury resulted. It's just mind-boggling. It is completely and utterly mind-boggling.
Dermot Brereton joining us. Thanks to Tyre Power, Falcon Tyres, your top tip for value. All right, it's Dermot Brereton Rapid Fire Edition. You ready, Derm?
Okay,
I need your I need your rapid fire tips for this week, starting tomorrow night. Essendon and Adelaide, you're allowed to have a line or two at the most. Who do you think will win?
Essendon, they should have got it done last week. They were terribly disappointing. And I know they said earlier in the year, we've got the Essendon edge. They've lost it. Get it back, Bombers.
Giants and the Suns at NG.
Giants. Giants will win the home game, yep.
St Kilda and the Eagles at Marvel.
St Kilda. I didn't mind what they did 2 weeks ago against the Swannies. Yeah, I think they've just... It's not a big corner. It's not a rounded corner. It's a sharp corner. I think they've just put their head around it.
The big elimination final, your mob, the Hawks and Collingwood.
I actually, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago. We often speak and say, this team matches up well. Hawthorn always match up well against Collingwood. I think the Hawks get this done.
Massive, that would be massive. Geelong and the Bulldogs, GMHBA Stadium, Saturday night.
Geelong.
And Port Adelaide and Richmond, also Saturday night at the Adelaide Oval.
Port Adelaide should be the easiest one of the round to pick.
Okay, that's going to be interesting. Dustin Martin not playing in that one for those people unaware. Lions and Sydney, first versus fourth of the Gabba.
Yeah, I'll go Sydney. I reckon they've had a nice little tune-up over the last 2 weeks.
They have. Dockers and Melbourne, Optus Stadium in Perth.
Dockers.
And you said Port Adelaide was easiest to pick of the round against Fremantle. Do you think North can get Carlton to run at Marvel on Sunday?
I'll give them a run, but they won't win. If Carlton are worth anything this year, they get this done. And, it should be a comfortable margin by the end. I don't think a blowout, because the Roos are actually giving really good effort. They've gone back to what they should be, and that's contested ball-winning team. They fell apart a little bit last week, but I think the Swans actually had a point to prove after a couple of narrow losses.
So do you think Collingwood's done then? If they lose to the Hawks, they're just about done, aren't they?
You need to see something. I have so much faith in them. You just need to see something. But I'd say at the moment, it's unfortunate they come up against a team which matches well against them, has performed well against. They probably should have won in round four when Connor McDonald actually had a flying shot at goal. So they should have got that one. They're lucky to get out of jail there. They're not showing a whole lot. It's horrible to say it, but they just looked one track in the middle. Dangerfield made Scotty Penderbury, who's just an awesome warrior champion, he just made him look pedestrian. And Danger's hardly a young man himself. Yeah, I think the Hawks are seriously fit too. I mean, last week we were on air and while you were calling the Hawks game, and we were taking sneak looks. And when we had a little break, I had a look at the Hawks at three-quarter time. And even though I didn't, I just saw the stats and I saw that Fremantle come back at them hard in the third quarter. I just felt remarkably confident that the young Hawks were going to run over. They run so hard. And unless Collingwood can finish really hard late in the last quarter, Hawthorn will run over.
Derm, always love your work. We'll talk to you on the weekend.
Cheers, mate. Having said that, I'll probably get about three right.
Ha ha, Derm Herrera, an AFL Nation commentator, live. I won't tell you where he is, but he's on holidays at the moment. Thanks to Tyre Power. Falcon Tyres, your top tip for value. And by the way, they've got their winter safety sale on now at Tyre Power, so you can get Falcon Tyres, the top tip on sale, get 4 for $3.
On Deck Business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Oh, great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Keep your calls coming on 1-300-736-736 if you'd like to join me. Lost in the Wash, not far away. So jump on the line if you've got a Lost in the Wash and we'll get you to air. You can jump on the line right now. Rowan and Dandenong wants to talk about Derm. Welcome to you, Rowan.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
Just one point and a question. First, the point. It might be, you know, I still don't understand why the AFL, unless they're already doing, is talking about insurance for all players, men and women, in regards to, you know, to cover any sort of future problems with head injuries down the track and so forth. So maybe it's something they can negotiate with the television rights. So, you know, these footballers are entertainers and they need to be looked after and, you know, they're people. And my question is the VFLW Grand Final being played anywhere on football for us North Melbourne supporters?
I don't know where it is, Rowan, the North Melbourne team in the VFLW Grand Final.
As far as I know, they are with against the Bulldogs. If I've got it wrong, but I'm sure that's what's,
I'm sure someone will send a text through to inform me of that. If you know of where it's going to be played, 0433 98 11 16. That'd be great if you can send it through on the text and give Rowan an answer. Hey, Frank Panisi's not far away from joining us as well. He is the boss of the Melbourne Storm, their general manager of football, but he is the New South Wales Blues performance manager, and he'll be pretty happy today. Lost in the Wash, and then we'll hold Frank off for about 15 or so minutes. So Lost in the Wash straight after the news, and then Frank. Lost in the Wash time. If it's been lost, we should have got to it by now, but haven't got to it yet. Then jump on the open line and we'll get you to air right now. 1-300-736-736. Lost in the Wash for showers or dog washes. Fundraise at your local footy club. Plenty of text coming through in response to our previous caller's question. Hey guys, VFLW Grand Final is being played at Port Melbourne on Sunday at 12:10 and Channel 7 is broadcasting it. So there you go. Although I've got one report here saying Saturday at 12:15. So VFLW Grand Final, 12:15 p.m. on Saturday at Port Melbourne. And another one here, Port Melbourne on Sunday at 12:10. So I haven't really helped you there, have I, by reading both those texts out. Let's head to your... Well, let's play a little bit of what the coaches have had to say, firstly. Chris Fagan. Everyone's been talking about tackling. Chris Fagan's spoken, Ross Lyon's spoken, Adam Uzay has spoken, Craig McRae has spoken today, Simon Goodwin has spoken. Here's a little bit of Chris Fagan firstly on the approach the Lions will have to tackling.
It's difficult because, you know, we all sit there and watch the game. You guys are the same. You watch a bloke, if he doesn't go hard at the tackle or gets a tackle broken or whatever, we're critical of them. tackle making and tackle breaking are incredibly important parts of our game, and they happen in an absolute split second. And then we sit back with the benefit of slow motion replays and break it all down and turn it into something bigger than it actually is, in my opinion. So, but there's a lot of pressure on players. And I don't want my blokes going out there second-guessing tackles. Like, it's an instant action, you know. If you see an opposition player is about to get the ball, close the gap as quickly as you can and lay the tackle in a legal way. Don't give away a free kick. Don't let the player get the ball out. That's how we coach it. And that's how we should coach it. And that's how we've coached it for years and years and years. So we might, you know, we'll wait and see what happens, whether we have to coach it differently or not. But, you know, I don't want my players corralling and not putting the right amount of pressure on the opposition with the ball. So for the time being, we won't be changing anything.
Chris Fagan, coach of the Lions. Ross Lyon has also got a lateral thought process. Ross Lyon, his press conferences are a little different. And I understand his answer, and I haven't heard this yet, was a little different when it came to the tackling situation and how he's instructed his players. He is the coach of the Saints.
Well, I think you don't always tell your players what to do. They on their phones a lot. They get served a lot of media, I suppose. The social media sites and news aggregators, aren't they? I think they'd be on one of them.
Do they know how to handle tackling situations, though?
Our players?
Yeah.
How many our players have been suspended with those tackles? Yeah, I don't think. Is there one? I don't think one. So we're handling it okay, yeah. Now, look, the game's evolving. You know, is the pastoral care improved that much? I'm a cynic. Is it medico-legal risk and litigation and you're mitigating? I don't know, but the game's changing. The game's changing, so we're all working through it.
Ross Lyon on that. From what we understand, I think Jack Higgins got 3 weeks for a dangerous tackle earlier this season. He also spoke about Brad Hill's 250th. Here's Ross Lyon on that milestone.
Yeah, it's really exciting for Brad. I think it's an opportunity to just look back at his career for a brief moment while it's still going. And 250 games, obviously three-time premiership player at Hawthorn. And he's just been a running machine. He brings great vibrancy to the place. His leadership's really grown. So, yeah, we'd like to have the esteem we hold him in with a really strong performance. I think that would be the aim. So, yeah, it's great for his family. It's a significant milestone, but once the ball's bounced, it's all about the team. So, yeah, we'll celebrate it.
Ross Lyon on the milestone. Won't be a game added to Dustin Martin's tally this weekend. Here's Adam Uze saying the champion won't suit up against Port Adelaide.
Yeah, a bit of frustration for us. We're hoping he was going to get up for training today. His back's a little bit grumbly, so if we get him out there today, he's probably going to aggravate it again. So, it's just easier for us to just rule him out this week and try and get some training load in for the following week. So, you won't see him out there today. Yeah, well, it's just he's got a crook back at the moment. It's spasms. So right now, if we go and try and push him through that, it could aggravate it again. So, we've just decided this morning that why go through that and aggravate it again? It could prolong it. So, we'll give him that extra time to hopefully get up for next week.
So Dustin Martin won't be playing. Will Max Gawn be playing? Here's Simon Goodwin, coach in Melbourne.
Yeah, look, he's working through his process incredibly well. Obviously, everyone that knows Max knows how diligent he is. Today's an important day for that process and we'll assess him post today. But, you know, we certainly won't take a risk. This isn't the time of year to take a risk with any of our players. So we need to make sure he's actually 100% ready to go. And obviously today's a big step for where he's at. So we'll assess it post today. So it's hard to make a decision this morning until we get all the information. But as I said, it's just not one of those things you need to take a risk with. So we need to make sure he's 100% clear today.
Simon Goodwin on Max Gawn's availability. And will Dan McStay play for Collingwood? Here's the Collingwood coach Craig McRae.
I had a little chat to him. There's still a little bit to play out. We'll discuss that further internally in our match committee in about half an hour or so. But he's put up really well from the VFL game, and we just got to discuss a couple of little things before we make any decision around it.
Craig McRae on that. Lost in the wash for showers at dog washes. Fundraise at your footy club. Quite a few texts coming through saying definitely the AFL VFLW Grand Final is on Sunday at 12:10 at Port Melbourne Oval. So more texts on the Sunday, but hey, I'm trying to trust the texters, which I normally do. But on this one, maybe check your local guide. You can listen to This Is Your Journey on Sunday, by the way, from 10 a.m. Sammy Edmund chats to Australian swimmer Brooke Hanson, all thanks to Tobin Brothers Celebrating Lives. Frank Panisi celebrating New South Wales' win last night. We'll talk to Frank next.
On-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Flops it out the back, Luai. He goes to the left side. Luai goes through. He's go. Over the halfway line.
Come on.
Where's the support? Bradman Best looming. Bradman's got him. Juggles him.
Go, oh, Bradman. Go, Bradman. Go, Bradman.
Yes.
Go,
Bradman.
Yes.
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 Yes!
Yes!
Left hand side now to Moses. Moses stepping. Moses goes forward. Moses! Oh, Moses! Yes!
Woo!
Yes! It's coming home, baby. England were right. It's coming home. Moses goes under the post. The shield comes home to New South Wales.
A little bit of Blues radio from SEN Sydney. What fun broadcast that would have been. And it would have been a fun night for Frank Panisi as well. New South Wales Blues performance manager's been good enough to join us. Thanks to a work locker, Karen Downs and Packing. And welcome to you, Frank. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dwayne. No, it was quite a special night last night. So it was great just to listen to that commentary.
You been home yet?
On my way home. Just landed in Melbourne. So on the same flight as Billy Slater, actually. So we had a bit of a yarn at the airport. He's in pretty good spirits, Bill, considering. So now we've both got our heads on the storm now for the rest of the season.
And did you have a quiet one after last night? What is the normal post-game celebration mode that you slip into?
Well, we didn't leave the stadium till well and truly after midnight. It was really enjoyed the aftermath in the dressing room with the families and friends and so on. And then when all the the families left, we just stayed as a team and just went back to the hotel after that. So, yeah, it was a very, very special night. It's been a wonderful 6 weeks with this group of players and staff. And we enjoyed the last few moments savour the victory.
And it was an interesting, well, it's a tough road to win it this way, but is this the best road, best method to win it?
Well, that's been the most difficult one, Dwayne, because last night was only the third time in State of Origin's history, which has been going since 1980, that New South Wales has won a decider up in Lang Park in Brisbane. The first time was 1994 and the last time it was done in 2005. So certainly wasn't the intended way of doing it. With a home game first up, that's the game you want to win and either tie it up and you want to tie it up or win it, I should say, in Melbourne. But wasn't to be. It was, we lost a player in game one and we were well and truly beaten. But, the performance in Melbourne really set up the decider for us.
And obviously, the style of game, was it played the way you wanted it played? Did that suit you, the fact that it was a tough, hard, low-scoring encounter?
No, we expected a quicker game, to be honest with you, Dwayne. That's what we got in Melbourne. We thought it was a really fast game, and that's why there are a lot of points scored. But last night, the ruck was a little bit slower, and that made it for a more physical game. And certainly, it was a tight game, and both teams threw everything at it. There was still plenty of ball movement by both teams, but it was very, very defensive. Had more time because of the slow play of the balls. But, yeah, the physicality last night, that's a physical game that I've certainly seen and been involved in for a very, very long time.
So where were you stationed? Were you near the bench when it cleared?
I was right in the middle of the melee, to be completely honest with you, Dwayne. I followed a once I noticed that half our bench were missing. I was trying to do my best to get them out of it. But it was a melee. There was no punches thrown. It reminded me to a little bit of a degree of the infamous Battle of Brookie that Melbourne Storm and Manly had way back in 2011, but that was a lot more brutal back then than it was last night. It was plenty of shoving and plenty of feeling, but there was certainly no punches thrown. But yeah, it was an interesting stage of the game, put it that way, Dwayne.
And obviously the plan was to win it, the first two games, but the whole experience for the players playing in Melbourne, is that something that you think will be a long-term thing or forever thing? Because it seems like the neutral venue, big crowd Melbourne game added to the whole, I know New South Wales do it well and Queensland do it well, but it seemed like Melbourne kind of played its role a bit.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think it is here to stay. I think probably the neutral venue may change every year. It has for a number of years now. I think next year's second game is planned for Perth again. So it's been played there a few times, and Adelaide has got two games as well over the last, say, 10 years. So I think it will stay that way, one in Sydney, one in Melbourne, and the neutral one, it'll be varied around different places. They're even talking about taking a game in New Zealand, which would be interesting, and given the way that rugby league's so popular there at the moment, it certainly would be a huge hit over there as well.
And you had to flip to finding out how all your Melbourne Storm players pulled up. How did they pull up?
Yeah, not too good. Well, we only had really Harry Grant last night. Trent Lerero was in the greater squad but didn't play. So Harry will back up for Saturday game, which is great because it's a huge game we've got against the Roosters. You know, probably the informed team of the competition at the moment. They've got a few Origin players backing up as well. But it's an important game for us to, you know, continue our momentum at the top of the ladder. And at the same time, too, they're a top four side. So not only do we win, Dwayne, but we also deny them with 2 points, which it makes it even better.
So Saturday night, Amy Park, top four clash. Make sure you get your tickets and support the Melbourne Storm. You've allowed your assistant coach to go to his new job at Parramatta?
Yeah, look, Jason's been wonderful for us. This is his third stint at the club. He played his last 2 years and then he had a five-year stint as assistant coach before returning back again this year. But with him being the head coach of Parramatta, it's a big job for him. His first head coach, he needs to find a coaching team. He needs to a performance team and also, you know, look at his recruitment, his list. So the sooner he starts that, we think it would be better and it gives him opportunity to start now rather than at the end of the season.
And how far away Cam Munster? I think we spoke about it last week a little bit.
Very close. There was talk of him playing this weekend, but he won't be doing that. We're hopeful that he may be back next week against Parramatta. If it's not against Parramatta, it'll definitely be the week after against St George, which is great news for Cameron, but also great news for the team as well.
You sound a little hoarse, Frank.
Plenty of shouting on the sideline, Dwayne. There was plenty of shouting. There's loud, so trying to get messages on the field at all times. But enjoy, but it was a very enjoyable night. It was an incredible experience. I mean, anyone that's been to Suncorp Stadium, it's for a rugby league stadium, I think it's the best in the world. You're very close and the crowd's noisy and you know, the playing service is always quick. So it was an incredible game last night. The atmosphere was just electric. And, you know, with the game in the balance right till the end, it was quite a night. But, yeah, certainly needed all the Blues encouragement we could because we were certainly outnumbered last night.
Thought it might have been from the singing post-game, but you deserve the win, Frank. Well done, Ian. We appreciate you jumping on.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Frank Panisi, New South Wales Blues Performance Manager and Melbourne Storm General Manager of Football. Joining us, thanks to WorkLocker, Karen Downs and Pakenham after the big win last night by New South Wales. Good to have WorkLocker, Karen Downs and Pakenham on board. By the way, workwear for wherever you work. Confirmation, had a look at the website. So it is on the VFLW Grand Final on Sunday. So 12:10 is when that one is on if you want to check it out. A couple of texts that have come through that have kind of been lost in the wash. G'day, Dwayne. Pies are definitely number one on the pressure meter this week. Dogs at two. Very tough draw coming up. Bombers at three. Port Adelaide at four and Frio at five. That's from Steve. And one we might investigate tomorrow, Dwayne, if the Hawks make the finals, should Sam Mitchell be coach of the year? Might even throw that one up tomorrow, given that, well, John Longmire is probably the front runner right now. But I tell you what, if Sam Mitchell does make the finals or they win a final, he'd have to be a contender. But of course, it is named before the finals start, the coach of the year. We'll take a break and wrap it all up after this year with Dwayne's World. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Thanks to all of you taking the time to send through a text today on the 40 Mix Temper text 0433 98 11 16. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper. Get your unique bed match profile and find the right bed for you. 40 Mix, serious about sleep. And if you want to Google the Temper range, T-E-M-P-U-R is what you can Google to check out their mattresses and pillows. Time to celebrate some lives. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. A shout-out to Australian golf legend Greg Norman, who won the Open on this day in 1993, finishing two shots ahead of Nick Faldo. And happy birthday to Australian cricket legend Dennis Lilly, who turned 75 today. Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. That's it for me today. The show has been driven by Werribee Kia, as always. The team will look after you just like family down at Werribee Kia. They've got great July driveway deals on now and exclusive to Werribee Kia. They've got the new Sportage 5-seat SUV from just $36,990, the new Sorento 7-seat SUV from $51,990, or the new Carnival 8-seater from $52,990. There's also the last remaining Serato stock from only $26,990. And they'll give you top dollar for trade-ins and great finance packages Available on site. Terms and conditions apply. But drop down and see David and Janan and Aid and Jim and the whole team at Werribee Kia. They would love to see you. You can take one of their cars, test drive one of their new or used cars, take them for a run. They're at Old Geelong Road, Hoppers Crossing. You can call the hotline and talk to them direct, 1300-BIKE-KIA, that's 1300-289-542, or visit werribeekia.com.au, LMCT 114. It's all there on the podcast. If you want to download the Dwayne's World podcast anytime you like, it's all there on the podcast. You can download the bits and pieces. But stick around. Andy and Gaze are up next, followed by Sports Day with Jared Healy and Adam White. And then please join me for Midday Madness Friday edition tomorrow at midday. Wall to wall, your calls for 2 hours. Please join me then.